I want to take as my text this morning the words of verse 1, part of verse 1, where David said, "My soul thirsteth for thee. My soul thirsteth for thee." And I want to speak this morning on the believer's thirst and longing after God. The believer's thirst and longing after God. One of the distinguishing marks and characteristics of a true Christian is that they have an earnest and a sincere desire and longing after the Lord. They long for His presence in their life. They long for His blessing in their life. They long for His power to be displayed in their life. While the nominal Christian goes through the motions and the rituals of religion as a mere duty, the genuine Christian delights in the Lord and the things of God. And the genuine believer desires the reality of the Lord in his life. Such was plainly manifest in David's life and experience in Psalm 63. Verse 1, he says, "O God, thou art my God." And because the Lord was his God, he said, "Early will I seek thee." And the reason why he would seek the Lord was because his soul thirsted for the Lord. "My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Psalm 63 was written of David's wilderness experience. Now you'll see there is a title of this psalm. You'll see there right at the commencement of the psalm, it says, "A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah." Commentators are divided as to the exact circumstances when this psalm was written and what it related to. Some feel that it was written of David's experience when he fled from Saul for his life. Because in 1 Samuel 23, we are told specifically that when David fled from Saul, he fled to the south country, or the wilderness to the south, the wilderness of Judah. And he definitely was in the wilderness at the time when he fled from Saul. Others take it that it was written when, relating his experience when he had fled from Absalom. Absalom, his treacherous, traitorous son. And the reason they come to this conclusion is because in verse 10 it says, "But the king shall rejoice in God." And they tend to think that David was already the king. He wasn't king when he fled from Saul. He'd been anointed, but he wasn't the king. But here it refers to him as the king. And so they feel that it must have been written when he fled from Absalom, because he was the king at that stage. Whether it was relating to his flight from Saul or his flight from Absalom, the reality was he was in the wilderness of Judah. It was a dry and thirsty land where no water was. Isn't it interesting that his spiritual situation or state was a reflection of his literal state? As he dwelt in that dry and barren wilderness, he felt a dryness in his soul, a thirst within his soul, longing after God. And I don't want to take too much time, for I'm only passing in my introduction to get to my theme and my points, but I think it is worth pointing out that our physical circumstances can affect us spiritually. When David was in the barren place physically, he felt a dryness in his soul. When he was separated from the sanctuary, he felt a dryness in his soul. And so it can be with a believer. Let me say, if a believer is keeping the wrong company, if a believer is going to worldly places, there will come a dryness and a barrenness in the soul. If a believer abandons the house of God, and I'm not talking about this present pandemic, by the way, please don't think that. I'm talking about in normal circumstances. If a believer abandons the house of God and doesn't attend regularly and starts living primarily for the things of the world, there's going to come a spiritual barrenness. That's really how David felt. He was in the desert, and as he was there, he felt spiritually dry, spiritually barren. But because David was a true believer, he had this longing, this thirst after God. And under the illustration of a thirsty man, maybe even at a thirsty animal of mine, for in Psalm 42, he said, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. He viewed the thirsty deer coming to the water brooks and drinking. And as the thirsty man or animal, when if they find fresh water, they drink and drink and drink until their thirst is quenched. So David was saying, I'm thirsting after God, and I want to drink of the things of God that my soul will be blessed. I want this morning to ask you very plainly, very bluntly, very directly, do you have a thirsting and a longing after God? To know His blessing and His nearness and His power in your life. Do you have that longing? Or are your heart's desires after other things? The believer's thirst and longing after God. I want you to notice that David longed for God in three ways, at least three ways. David longed and thirsted for a sight of God's glory. Look at verse 2. He says, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee. Verse 2, he says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. You'll note his request there. His request was that he would see the power and the glory of God. That's what he's longing after. That's what he's desirous for, a sight of God's glory. And he makes his request to see, Lord, I'm thirsting to see the power and glory of God. You will know that whether this psalm was written, David's flight from Saul or Absalom, his life was in danger. He was living without his comforts as a fugitive. And yet he's not so much interested in seeing the things of time and sense. It wasn't his family or his men or his home or his comforts that he longed to see. But rather he longed for the power and the glory of God. When you can say that a sight of God's glory is more desirous than anything else, then you know you have a thirst for the Lord. Spurgeon said, speaking of Moses, and there's a wonderful prayer of Moses recorded in Exodus 33 and 18, when Moses, at an end of himself, he prayed, Lord, show me thy glory. Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher, declared, when Moses prayed, show me thy glory, he could pray for no greater. Nothing greater than to behold and to see the glory of God. The hymn says, mine eyes have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord. And I wonder, my friends, have you beheld with your spiritual eyesight the glory of the Lord? Oh, for a fresh view of the glory of God in our souls. You'll notice his reason, not only his request to see the glory of God, but his reasoning, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee, or as I have seen thee. You see, David had beheld the glory of God before, and he longed to see it, he longed to view it again, and have it freshly imprinted upon his heart and his soul. And my friend, when you get a glimpse of the Lord and then you go through the dry and barren land where no water is, the true believer, it should cause them to desire to behold the glory of God again. Do you know anything about it? Where had David beheld the glory of the Lord before? Beheld it in the sanctuary, verse 2. I have seen thee. David saw the Lord. David saw the glory of God in the sanctuary, the tabernacle, the public place of worship. Do you remember what he said in Psalm 27 and verse 4? One of the favorite psalms of God's people. He said, one thing have I desired, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. That's the sanctuary. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. If I could, he said, I'd put my bed in the house of the Lord. I'd live in the house of the Lord. I'd stay in the house of the Lord. Why? To behold the beauty of the Lord. There he beheld the beauty and the glory of the Lord. And what is that glory? It's the glory of the gospel. That's what it was set forth at the tabernacle in the temple. The glory of the bloody sacrifice on the brazen altar where the lamb or the bullock or the young pigeon was sacrificed as a burnt offering for sin. It was the glory and the beauty of the laver where the priest washed in clean water. It was the beauty and the glory of the priest going into the holy place and offering incense unto the Lord for the people. It was the beauty and the glory of once a year the high priest going in with the blood of the sacrifice to the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, and sprinkling the blood on the mercy seat and praying to God for forgiveness for Israel. My friend, that's the work of Christ. And it was set forth in the public place at the temple or the tabernacle. And David beheld it. My friend, that's the glory of the gospel. The glory of a sacrifice for sins. The Lamb of God slain for sinners. To take away the sin of the world. The sanctifying influence of the water of God's word being washed in it. When the word of God is proclaimed publicly, our souls are washed in the sanctifying influence of the word. The priest going in and praying for the people, offering incense. Christ, our great high priest, has gone into heaven and he ever lives to make intercession for us. And on the basis of the Day of Atonement, the Father sees his sacrifice and his blood and he accepts us as forgiven, pardoned, justified for the work of his Son. That's what David had beheld. That, let me say, friends, that is to be what is set forth in God's house. God's house is not an entertainment session. And if it ever becomes it, I tell you, I'll be out the door. God's house is about presenting the work of Christ for sinners. And that's the glory. And my friend, if you get a view and a vision of it, it'll bless and satisfy your soul. He wanted to behold and see the glory of the Lord as he'd seen him in the sanctuary. Have you that thirst? Now, I am going to apply it to the present situation. I'm going to say, my friends, do you remember? Can you remember back the times when you sat in God's house in Bethany? Maybe at the convention meetings and other houses of the Lord. And the Lord drew near. He gave you a sight of His glory and the blessing of the gospel. My friend, do you not long for it again? Long to see the Lord. A sight of His glory. As you've seen Him before in the sanctuary. David had a thirst and a longing for a sight of God's glory. Then I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, he had a longing for a satisfaction in God's love. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 63. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My soul shall be satisfied. When an individual soul tastes and drinks the water of God's blessing, there is satisfaction and peace within experience that the world can never give and sinners can never know. Jesus told the woman at the well, "Whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give, shall be in him a well of water, welling up unto life eternal." And he said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give shall never thirst again." My friends, when you drink and you taste of the streams of God's blessings from the gospel and the water of life, I tell you, there's satisfaction in it. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord, the hymn writer said of his state and sin. When he was a sinner, he said, "I came to the broken cisterns. I tried the broken cisterns, Lord. But the waters failed. And as I stooped to drink, they fled and mocked me as I wheeled." He came to the world's cistern that held the water. And he went to take a drink, but there was a hole in it. And the water kept seeping or leaking out, and he was never satisfied. He could never get enough. But he said, "Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee." I tell you, when you drink of the blessings of the gospel, your soul will be satisfied. And what was it that satisfied David in the wilderness? When he was surrounded by dry and barren land, it's a picture of the believer now going through this world, making her journey to heaven. This world is a wilderness. What satisfied his soul as with marrow and fatness? Look at verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. He was satisfied in the love of God. And the love of God to him. Because thy loving kindness, even when he's in the wilderness. And let me say to you that the word life there, thy loving kindness is better than life. Some commentators take that word life to refer to the comforts of life. And when David was in the wilderness, he lost his comforts. He lost his home. Living in a cave, living in the open air by the rocks, in the crags of the rock, lost his home, lost his luxuries, lost his position, lost his authority. lost it all for a season. And yet he can say, thy loving kindness is better than life. When he lost it all, he still had the Lord, and he was loved by the Lord, loved with everlasting love, led by grace, that love to know. See, my friends, we can lose our comforts in life. We can lose our position in life. We can lose our authority in life. We could lose our loved ones and our friends. We could lose our influence in life. But I want to tell you, the love of God will never lose it. Do you know why? Paul asked the question, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he listed the things of this world. He said, shall persecution or distress or nakedness or famine or peril or sword? He said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, Christ Jesus. And when you, believer, have lost everything else in life, you'll never lose the love of God in Christ. And David could look around him and say, thy loving kindness is better than life itself, and it's better than the comforts of life. Solomon could say in Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and the verse 2, thy love is better than wine, and so it is. But David could go further and say, thy loving kindness is better than life. You know, what did he do when he was in the wilderness? What did he do with this love or about this love? Well, he thought about it. He says, my soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee. He called to remembrance. As he lay in his bed, when I remember thee upon thy bed. And his bed might have been in the cave, it might have been on the rock, it might have been in the open air under the stars of heaven. But as he lay sleeping at night, a fugitive in the wilderness of Judah, he called in his mind upon the Lord. He thought upon the Lord, and he thought upon his love. He called it to remembrance. I want to ask you, dear child of God, do you practice the biblical art of meditation? I'm not talking about these New Age meditational things that are a load of nonsense and shouldn't be engaged in by the Christian. I'm talking about biblical meditation. Do you know there's such a thing? Oh, the Lord explained it to Joshua years before David in Joshua chapter 1 there. When he was charging Joshua, he said, in verse 8, this book of the law, that's the Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Joshua, meditate, think upon the word of God day and night, for then thy way shall be prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. David lying on his bed in the wilderness at night, he's meditating upon the things of God and the love of God. And it was a blessing to his soul as he thought about the promises of God and the provision of God and the peace of God and the purpose of God for him. I tell you, it satisfied his soul, and you do the same. When you lie upon your bed at night, and during the day as you go about your business, meditate upon the Lord and his love, you'll be able to say with the hymn writer, my soul is satisfied for his love. His loving kindness is better than life itself. So final thought I want to put to you this morning. David thirsted or longed to see the glory of God. David thirsted and longed to be satisfied in the love of God. David thirsted and longed to be sheltered under the wings of God. There's verse 7 as we draw to a close. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. David uses the picture or the illustration of the mother hen or the mother bird. And as the mother hen or other mother birds at times of danger, they'll call their chicks or their young to them, and they'll shelter them in under their wings, and they'll seek to shelter them to protect them from harm. David's saying, and notice what he says. Notice it carefully. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings, he says, will I rejoice? He rejoiced in the shadow of the wings of the Lord because he knew position there. He had the help and protection of the Lord that he mentions in the first part of verse 7. Thou hast been my help. I'm protected and sheltered under the wings of God, and therefore I rejoice in them. What did the Lord shelter him from? Well, as you read on, towards the end, the final section of the psalm, there were those that sought his soul to destroy it, verse 9. He was sheltered from the persecution of the enemy. And he was sheltered from the lies of the enemy. Look at verse 11. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. There were those who lied against David. And there were those who sought to destroy him, even to destroy his soul. And isn't it interesting that David was protected and preserved from the lies and the persecution. And the Lord in his time and in his way vindicated David. And yet those who told the lies and those who sought to destroy him, they perished by the sword. They shall fall by the sword, verse 10, be a portion for foxes. They would go to the lower parts of the earth. Their soul would perish. And their mouth and their lies would be stopped. My friend, when the enemy comes against you and would lie and would persecute you, when the enemy comes against the church of Christ and the people of God and would lie about them and would seek to persecute them, let us rejoice in the shelter that we have under the wings of the Lord. He will vindicate us in his own time. He will shelter us and support us and strengthen us. And he'll silence the lies against his cause and against his people. We can rejoice that we're sheltered under the wings of the Lord. That's what he thirsted for, he longed for. Let me close with verse 8. For given that David longed for the sight of God's glory, the satisfaction of God's love, and the shelter of God's wings, he said in verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee. My friend, in these days of barrenness, we're spiritually, we live and labor for the Lord in a dry and barren place, a spiritual wilderness. May God give us grace to follow hard after the Lord. Not to forsake Him, not to leave Him, not to abandon Him because the way is too hard. But to follow hard after Him, knowing that by His right hand and under the shadow of His wings, He will uphold us. Have you that longing and thirsting for God? May we seek the Lord early and know a revelation of the Lord in our souls afresh. And may the Lord bless His word to us for His own name's sake.